With a special edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Brett Kavanaugh has been confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court.
On this vote, the ayes are 50, the nays are 48. The nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh of Maryland to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed.
The final vote on Saturday came after a contentious few weeks that included testimony from Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford, the woman who accused him of sexual assault when they were teenagers. Joining us now via Skype from Washington is Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, it's an understatement to say that this was a contentious nomination process, and the result more or less became clear on Friday after Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine, who was considered a possible swing vote, said she would vote yes to confirm.
Our Supreme Court confirmation process has been in steady decline for more than 30 years. One can only hope that the Kavanaugh nomination is where the process has finally hit rock bottom.
Siobhan, the nomination process for Brett Kavanaugh was criticized by both Democrats and Republicans. How would you say this process compared to previous nominations in terms of the controversy it created and the infighting between lawmakers?
I would say the controversy was at least as extreme as what we saw with Robert Bork and Clarence Thomas, but in terms of the content, possibly more so. The allegations against Clarence Thomas, after all, involved sexual harassment. This was a scale different, involving allegations of actual sexual assault, and it was something that resonated throughout the country in ways that I have not seen in the about decade I have covered Capitol Hill.
And we also heard plenty of dramatic testimony from other senators who took to the floor on Friday and Saturday ahead of the final vote. Just to give a sense of a few of those moments, here's Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, followed by Republican James Inhofe of Oklahoma.
From start to finish, President Trump's nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court will go down as one of the saddest, most sordid chapters in the long history of the federal judiciary.
I would hope that we can put an end to the search and destroy campaign that's being wedged by the Democrats and their enablers in this media, but I won't hold my breath.
This was a decision that many lawmakers spoke passionately about and faced intense pressure over from their constituents, including protesters who confronted senators after last week's hearing and even on Saturday ahead of the vote. There were certainly allegations from both sides about politicizing this debate. And of course, as we turn our attention to the midterms, what are the implications here for Democrats and Republicans, especially those who broke with party ranks?
There are different implications for Democrats and Republicans depending on the chamber. So for Senate Republicans, the Kavanaugh fight is clearly a win because it has energized a base in the red states that will be key to determining control of the Senate. It's a different story on the House side, where the energy is all coming from Democrats in the suburban college-educated districts that are the ones House Republicans need to hold on to in order to maintain their majority. There are particular lawmakers to watch, though. For example, Claire McCaskill in Missouri is somebody who is in a tough reelection campaign, and she has clearly been put on defense over the Kavanaugh fight, her opponent Josh Hawley going after her hard. Also in 2020, worth watching Susan Collins. Democrats, including people like Susan Rice, Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, are coming out and saying they might challenge her in 2020. And so she's got to be watched, too.
Let's talk about the national debate that this has intensified in the context of the Me Too movement. This is a debate that's certainly been elevated by the accusations against Kavanaugh and the response of lawmakers and the president who mocked Ford's testimony at a rally this week.
Gender is one of the real fault lines in this country. It's one of the most enduring features of American politics, and it's really been rubbed raw as a result of this debate. On one side, you have women who are talking about being victims of sexual assault, sexual aggression in ways that damage them both personally and professionally. On the other side, you have men, people, especially white men, people who have been stirred up by Donald Trump, feeling that they are besieged. under attack, feeling that they could lose their jobs or be criticized, even on false pretenses. And so that's the tension.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes about the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. Coming up, we'll talk more about how the nation's highest court has been reshaped under the Trump presidency. Siobhan, the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh means President Trump has successfully nominated two justices to the Supreme Court, although the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch was much less contentious than that of Kavanaugh. Can you talk a little bit about how this will impact the court going forward?
Well, there are a couple of things that everybody's watching for. A big one has to do with Roe versus Wade. Now, in his private conversations with senators, the judge said that Roe versus Wade, the landmark decision that basically said abortion was okay, was the law of the land. It was settled law. It wouldn't be changed. A lot of Democrats and progressives aren't so sure, and they are expecting a lot of cases to be set up that would chip away at Roe versus Wade. There is also this question of the Affordable Care Act, specifically the protections for pre-existing conditions. A group of attorneys general have already challenged the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act in the lower courts. There is a sense that that could land potentially at the Supreme Court. And if that happened, some people, especially Democrats, look to Judge Kavanaugh's record and say, you know, he could gut the Affordable Care Act in ways that eliminate the pre-existing protections provision.
And let's talk about Kavanaugh's record a little bit. Of course, that appeared in the headlines when he was first nominated by President Trump, but seemed to fade a bit amid all this controversy. Can you give us a recap of what we know about his major rulings in the past and his tenure as a judge?
Well, one of the big ones is a decision known as Garza, after the lawyer who represented a young immigrant who came to the country illegally and wanted to have an abortion. He issued a dissent that basically tried to put on hold that abortion on the grounds that if you're here illegally, you don't necessarily have that type of a right. It doesn't extend that far. And that's one that really stirred up a lot of people.
And the Supreme Court just began its term this week. What are some of the key issues that Kavanaugh and the rest of the court will be considering this term?
Well, the 2018 to 2019 term so far has a lower profile than in the last term when the court considered blockbuster cases like ones on gay rights and Trump's travel ban. Going forward, notable cases include a focus on excessive fines, criminal double jeopardy, and iPhone app sales. However, it's worth noting that in coming months, the justices will add dozens of new cases to their calendar, so more hot button cases are possible.
So, Siobhan, in reflecting on this nomination process, of course, as we spoke about earlier, it drew a lot of comparisons to the nomination of Clarence Thomas to the nation's highest court amid sexual harassment allegations from Anita Hill. Many critics have pointed out that despite the intervening years between those two nominations, not much has changed for women in terms of coming forward with allegations of sexual harassment or assault, or in terms of being believed when they do come out publicly. How do you think, at this early moment, Kavanaugh's nomination process changed or elevated the debate in that regard?
You know, the answer to that question perhaps lies most succinctly in something that a protester screamed from the Senate gallery right ahead of the vote. Her two-word comment, quote, "survivors vote." And that could be the thing that makes the most difference, at least on the Democratic side. We know that from polls also, the people who have been least likely to view the judge as credible are women. And so the women's vote is clearly going to be something to watch. And it could be something along the lines of post Anita Hill in 1993, when all of a sudden you've got a whole bunch of women elected to Congress.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes joining us via Skype from Washington to discuss Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court. Siobhan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been a special edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.